Genesis chapter 2. And, oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. I didn't see your hand, but please. Okay. We can laugh. Amen. We're in church. You may not be laughing after a while. Oh, we'll see. Take your, again, Genesis. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? All right. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read in just a moment, but I do want to say a few things to preface my message, and then we'll go ahead and stand and read in just a second. I'm going to take the next couple, maybe three Sunday nights, three to four, we'll see. I'm going to preach to you on a kind of a little series on keeping the home fires burning. The devil is in an all-out attack on the home. It doesn't matter who we are, you know, he just wants to attack us, and especially the Christian home, and he wants to do everything he can do to tear down the Christian home. And I've taken several weeks, maybe even quite a few months now throughout the summer, and I just put some things together and so forth. I do have a lot here tonight, and I'm not gonna by any means take one of these messages and have it be two-part. I'm gonna try to cut out the cob and get right to the corn here tonight. But I do want to say this by way of introduction as well, that some of the things I say tonight, I'll be preaching on marriage. The title of the message is A Marriage Made in Paradise, and we'll hit that in just a moment. I will be dealing with marriage a little bit, and of course my job is to preach the whole counsel of God, and I don't think since I've been here I've really ever taken a whole sermon and preached on marriage, and might have a couple of them in this series. And I'm going to take just as the adequate time that's necessary, I hope, to be very clear. But I want to say this, that I'm not pointing at anybody that's single tonight. I'm not disgracing you by any means. You know I love you, and we might say a few words about that along the way. I'm not pointing at any divorced individual tonight. Divorced or remarried, it doesn't matter. I'm not pointing at you tonight either. You know I love you, and so forth. And some may say, well, this is a message on marriage, so I can take a nap. Not really. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a teenager or whether you may be a single, or it doesn't matter who we are. I believe every time the man of God gets up and opens the Word of God, I always have believed this, that you can get something that will help you. Someday, teenager, Lord willing, okay, most likely, okay, not in every case, you know, God may keep some people single, okay, maybe God's will for some to be that way, which we might brush up on in just a moment, but most likely, teenager, someday you will be married. All right, some you know, lady, a young lady, you might sweep some man off his feet, and some young man, you might sweep some young lady off her feet. You just never know, and so it'd be good to absorb some of this, put it into a little memory bank, and say, you know what, I need this for my future wedding or whatever the case may be. So I do think that it will help every single one of us if we allow it. But I am going to take time, like I said, next couple of weeks, and preach on kind of the subject of keeping the home fires burning. Genesis chapter 2. Let's go ahead and let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read responsively, if you will, verses 18 through 25. Verses 18 through 25, responsively, I'll read, and then you read. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, I'll read, and then you read. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And God said, "This is now my bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the whole counsel of the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you to help our marriages, help our homes. It doesn't matter whether we may be a single or whether we may be married or who we are tonight. I pray, God, that we will all put effort together in making our homes even perhaps even more better than it is. I pray, God, Holy Spirit, that you just speak through me tonight. Give me clarity. Give me alertness tonight. Pray you'd open every heart now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A marriage made in paradise. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing? Probably not. You know, we've heard the statement, we've heard the expression, a match made in heaven or a marriage made in heaven or whatever the case may be. But is there any such thing as a perfect marriage? There was a time here in the Word of God, there was a marriage that was made in paradise. Eden was a very, very beautiful garden. The truth of the matter is, if we stepped into Eden, we would probably be taken back by its beauty. And there was a marriage that was made in paradise. In our text, we're going to see the first marriage ceremony and are given details about this wonderful wedding, if you will. When this wedding took place, there was no sin in the world. There was nothing wrong with this world, if you will. It was perfect. The marriage rate back in the Garden of Eden to this first wedding, if you will, the marriage rate was 100%. Divorce rate was 0%. Oh, to have that, amen. But then the fall came and sin entered into the world. And with the fall came problems. And with the fall came heartaches and the wretchedness of the curse. And all mankind are sinful, obviously, because of that fall. We understand that. And as a result of the fall, not just was there marriage problems, but the marital problems caused home problems. We're going to try to go ahead and get to the root of this the next couple weeks, if you will. But one can take much time to find the perfect spouse. And one can take a lot of time trying to seek that perfect marriage, but let me just stop and say this, our findings will be in vain. Let me just say this, if you have a perfect marriage tonight, can I just go ahead and observe you for the next week to see how it's done? Amen? I like to see how it's done. If you can honestly say that I haven't ever said a harsh word to my spouse, I'd like to talk to you for a while and sit down and take some notes and see how that happens. It just doesn't happen. I think if we all, doesn't matter this creature included, if we all admitted somewhere along the way, we would say that there's been some silence. There's been perhaps some harsh words. There's been things that we know should have never perhaps been said between one another, whatever the case may be, simply because there is no perfect marriage. Where two human beings are, there can be a little bit of a skirmish here and there, if you will. And in truth, many marriages, and I've observed this as a pastor, and even as an assistant pastor working with couples in the last 15 years, the truth of the matter is many marriages that really resemble a war zone. And I like to go ahead and try to get us to understand it doesn't have to be that way. Okay, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, and again, we ought to put God first and foremost in our marriage right at the very beginning. And I know that there's perhaps many situations here. I don't know all your background of how you found your spouse, if you will. I don't know all your stories and different things. But I will say this. I wish that when I was a teenager, okay, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up in a fundamental Baptist church and different things, but I never, ever had heard anything like what I'm preaching tonight. I never had. And I'm not being critical to any pastors in my life, or just never had heard some of the things that I have taught teenagers through the years about praying for your future spouse, and so I never heard it. I wish I had. Now, don't misunderstand me. That does not mean that I didn't marry well. I did marry very well. As a matter of fact, I married up. Amen? And we all did men, okay, just to help you along a little bit, okay? We all married up, okay, just to help you, all right? But the truth of the matter is, I do wish, however, that I had heard some of the things that I had, that I teach now to young people, if you will. But I want us to consider a few facts, and again, many marriages, they do kind of resemble like a World War II, if you will, or a war zone, and I just want to say it doesn't have to be that way. Some facts here. In this century, the divorce rate has risen over 700%. In 1960, there were 393,000 divorces. Now, this is about a year or so ago, there are over 1.2 million a year and rising. That's 1.2 million divorces a year and rising. Now there is one divorce for every 1.8 marriages. A little typo there. But anyway, sadly, over 1 million children in America will be involved in a divorce case. That is sad. You know, when you get kids in the middle of it, you know what? It does nothing but harm to your children. You know, I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I've seen it. As I visit bus routes and different things, okay? You know, if I may say very delicately, the poorer communities, if you will, you know what it does for the kids. One kid moving here to go over here one weekend, and it just shuffles back and forth, and they never have any stability. And I've even seen it in the best of Christian homes, that people would even say would be the best of Christian homes, that divorce happens and comes between, breaks up a marriage that man, you never would have thought it would have happened. You never would have even imagined that it would have happened, but it did. And I've seen it go ahead and destroy good godly kids as a result. Now, let me just say this, and I say it in all due kindness, if you're going to go ahead and get married, you know what? We ought to take them vows literally till death do us part. We need to take it literally. You know what? If you're in it just for a thrill, by the way, that's the wrong reason. Okay? If you're in it just for whatever reason, that's the wrong reason. We ought to get God. And by the way, if you never did get God in your marriage back in the past and it's been shaky, you know what? Start now. Amen. Start now. Start getting God in the center of your marriage and ask Him, and maybe a little Christian marital counseling, different things to help patch some things together. But you know what? Just do your future children a favor, and do yourself a favor, and even do your others around you a favor. If you're not going to go ahead and get married and stay married, just don't go ahead and get married. Don't do it. You know, just don't do it, because it affects the family in such a huge, dramatic way. But some worldly analysts would go ahead and say that we are in a decline. Okay, divorce is in a decline in the future. And the reason why they say that is because there's so much shacking up today. By the way, that is a far cry from what God intended. Amen. Okay, that is a far cry from what God intended, okay? He never intended for people to go ahead and shack up and just live together and do their own thing and live like animals in some cases. Okay, I know I'm being a little tough tonight, but we're going to get the Word of God right in here. You're going to see God right through this, all the way through. But I am going to go ahead and I'm going to preach, and I want to help your marriages. And again, I want to reiterate this. I may reiterate it again before the night's over. I'm not picking on anybody that's been divorced. You know I love you. Doesn't matter who you are, I love you. And there might have been some circumstances in the past that it's the way it is. There was nothing that could be done, and it could have been very harmful had it, you know, I totally understand. Okay, I understand that. You know, and I'm not picking on any particular group, but what I long to see is those of you that are married and you're bound with that love and so forth, strengthen your marriage and keep your marriages together and make it work. You know, and if I ended the message now and it's not, you know what, if you want your marriage to work, well, you got to keep God right in the very center point of your marriage and of your home. You got to do it. So this evening, I'm going to look for a little while at these verses that we just read a while ago on a marriage made in paradise. So number one, moving right along again, I'm going to just try to cut out the cob, get right to the corn tonight. What was the Lord's intention? Let's go ahead and look at the concern in verse number 18. The Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him." Now, we know the story here. We know Adam and Eve in the garden, and that's where they are and so forth. It's before the fall and so forth. And we understand that, so I'm not going to get into that a whole lot. But the Garden of Eden, as I mentioned earlier, was a very, very beautiful place, very breathtaking place. It was a perfect place where God and man and the animal kingdom enjoyed perfect peace and harmony. It certainly was a great place. I would love to have just been maybe one of them animals, just a little fly in the corner, just to see how beautiful Eden may have been. But looking back in Genesis chapter 1, you know what? God saw, when he went ahead and created everything, you know, in 7 days, and he rested different things, you know, every time he created something, he says, "And it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good." He said it was good, but then he realized it was something not good. He realized, as we read there a moment ago, that it's not good that man should be alone. He understood that. He realized he saw Adam as the only one of his kind. God said, "That's not good. Man had no counterpart." That word alone is not good that man should be alone. That word alone carries idea of being cut off or being a piece which is isolated from a whole. No one likes to be lonely, amen? No one likes that. You know, people like companionship. We like to have friendship, if you will. And we like to have companionship, if you will. And God said it's not good that man should be alone. Again, let me just say this to you singles. Don't get the wrong idea. It's not always God's will for everyone to get married. It isn't. I've experienced it even in my own life. I know some sweet people, and they'll tell you it just wasn't God's will, or Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright just never came into their life, and they're content and so forth. You know, looking at the Apostle Paul, he never got married and so forth and so on. So we need to understand that it may not always be God's will that we do not get married. Okay, and let me also say this, and I'm not saying that's not going to happen to you. I'm not going to say that you will never get married single. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying, leave it in God's hands, and God will take care of it. I know, as I mentioned, I noticed some ladies, I knew ladies, I knew men that were very content, that just missed their spouse, so to speak, that they were expecting, just never came through, or whatever the case may be. They never came by the way, so to speak, and they have learned to be content with that situation. There are times and circumstances when God has determined that maybe a person is better off single. Okay, being unmarried can cause you to do more for the Lord, for instance. Okay, now don't misunderstand this. You know what? Okay, I'm a married man. All right, let me go ahead and walk around a little bit, the red mic. I'm a married man. Okay, and see not only the Lord's intention, but we see his intervening, if you will. We see a desire shaped by God. Hold on. Excuse me a minute. Okay. I'm a little. Okay. A little commercial there. Okay. We're back. Okay. All right. So we see the Lord's intervening here. Okay. We see a desire here in verses 19 and 20 that was shaped by God. In these verses, God has the entire animal kingdom come before Adam. Okay. Now think of this. Adam's job was to go ahead, as we see there, to name all the animals, and whatever he named them, you know what? You're going to be a cat. Adam, why? God, why? But anyways, you're going to be a cat. Oh, excuse me. I got something in my throat. You're going to be a dog. You're going to be whatever. So all the animals come before him, and he tells Adam to look at them, give them names. Now, I think God's intention here was deeper than a simple intellectual test, if you will. I think that he's not trying to give Adam's brain a workout, so to speak. I think that the real goal of God was to alert a desire in Adam for companionship. Again, we all desire companionship, and it was a desire, I think, that was put into the heart of every man. And as Adam saw all these animals come by, the Bible says, as Adam saw all these animals, verse number 20, and Adam gave the names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So he names all the animals, and he noticed that everyone had companionship, or every animal, if you will, every living creature there in the garden had companionship, but Adam didn't. You know, I think perhaps he recognized that. There's a little statement here. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So it must have dawned on him that he was the only of God's creatures that was alone. He was by himself. That desire awakens in us that causes us to begin to look at members of the opposite gender with interest. Okay, by the way, it is normal man to think that a lady is attractive. Amen. Your wife ought to be attractive to you. Amen, man. Hubba hubba. You remember the days? You go back to the days when you first met. Well, you couldn't take your eyes off her. Amen. Amen. It's okay. All right. And by the way, God creates that desire for companionship. Okay. By the way, it is normal. Okay. It's abnormal to go ahead and bless God. You look at me, guy, with the little flattering eyes, the flittering eyes and so forth. I'm going to run. Listen, I know it's Massachusetts. But I ain't that. I got a beautiful lady right back there, amen. Mm-hmm. Anyways, moving right along. But you know what? God awakens in us that desire, if you will. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with it. Obviously, you're not to go ahead and go past the boundaries. There needs to be boundaries and so forth, and self-control and different things, which is lacking totally in our country and the world, if you will. But it is natural and God-given. A beautiful woman should cause a man to say, hubba hubba. You know, a handsome man, you know, ladies, you remember, okay? Let me just get back to this a minute. You know, you men, boy, when you saw that gal-to-be, that spouse-to-be, and you just believed in your heart, this is the lady that God had prepared for me, boy, you know what? She was the most beautiful thing, and she still ought to be the most beautiful thing to you. You know what? And remember, lady, when you met your husband-to-be? Boy, you're so handsome. I mean, all you could do is you just walked around smiling, and your mom would go ahead and try to talk to you. You'd have no clue what she was saying, because all you're doing is thinking about him. He is the man of my life. He is so handsome. I mean, boy, you know, he's got big muscles. Muscles, I'm sorry. Okay? I did it that way on purpose. Okay, kids, sorry. Your preacher's not totally illiterate, okay? Muscles. He's my man. You remember that. Okay, you remember that time. By the way, you know that's natural. Okay, there is in a heart of mankind a deep-seated desire for companionship, and that desire was shaped by Almighty God. By the way, it's a very beautiful thing, and I'm going to be very delicate, but it is a very beautiful thing, and it ought to be kept as such. A desire was also satisfied by God. God never awakens a desire that he's not prepared to fulfill. He never goes ahead and awakens a desire that he doesn't prepare to fulfill in his own way and in his own time. Note that, his own time. Sometimes we have a tendency to go ahead and rush it. We kind of want a timing, of course, is everything in any proper relationship, especially when you're courting and getting ready for marriage. What happened? Jesus coming? I'm still here. We're all here. Testing 1, 2. I guess I'm okay. God, you had me prepare this, okay? Don't get mad. Okay, just want to make sure. I didn't know if lightning was coming down from heaven or something. I'm glad we have a good time, amen? It gets a little rougher here. But you know what? But when you're courting and when you're getting ready for marriage, you know, there's timing. Okay, there needs to be a proper time. And we have a tendency to satisfy our desires, our time, and our way. That's taught. That's worldly philosophy. The world will teach you, you know what, if it feels good, do it. Live your own way, and so forth. Hollywood goes ahead and promotes it, promotes sex outside of marriage. I'll just go ahead and put it that way. Our music society, music industry, boy, that's all they do primarily is they just go ahead and push it and push it and push it and push it. And it's no wonder why we have all the out-of-wedlock pregnancies. It's no wonder why we have the STDs and the sexually transmitted diseases. And you can go on and on and on and on. God intends for every young person, every married couple to walk down an aisle one day. This is God's intention, and for them to be clean and pure. Amen and amen. God, of course, plants that desire, if you will, in the heart of his people, if you will, and he is always prepared to fulfill his plan, if you will, in his own way. So when we do our things our way, though, we short-circuit God's plan. You know what? I just want to get married. I want to get married now. I mean, I just want this, and I want this, and so forth. And we just got to learn to go ahead and wait on God and allow God to go ahead and prepare you and prepare your heart and have you mature, if you will, and so forth. And don't short-circuit the plan of God. God's divine plan when it comes to marriage is love, marriage, and then intimacy. Okay, but our society gone ahead and whacked out, if you will, God's divine plan. It's all through Bible, okay? It is love, marriage, and then intimacy. It is not intimacy, marriage, and love, or intimacy, love, and then whatever the case may be. No. You develop a heartfelt love from God for each other, and then you go ahead and you court and you date, and there should be some guidelines in your courting and dating, and I don't have a whole lot of time with that tonight, but there should be some guidelines, and as you're dating and as you're courting, you shouldn't do anything that would go ahead and start up a fire and so forth in your flesh to go ahead and do things that you know you ought not do outside the marriage bond, if you will. And so you learn to court. You court the way God wants you. You get the Bible out. You get the preacher maybe to go ahead and teach you on dating and different things and so forth according to the Word of God. And then you get engaged. And you're preparing yourself. You're loving each other. Then you're planning your marriage. And then comes the intimacy. Okay, anything else is not God's plan, and anything else is sinful. So the desire that was shaped by God is satisfied by God for Adam, and now he's going to supply that need for Adam. So how does he do it? Well, it involves sleep. What's he do here? In verse number 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Okay, imagine, you know what? If God went in and put him to sleep, I bet it was a great sleep. No, it was a, you know, perfect sleep, if you will. I mean, you know, he was probably out like a light, if you will. But it involves sleep. God put Adam to sleep while he did his work, while he surgerized him, so to speak. And let's notice, because he was sleeping, that Adam, now this is something that we all, you young people, ought to note here, that Adam was not involved in the selection process. You know what? Adam did not go ahead and lay there. God, this is how I want her to look. And I know I'm being a little facetious. Just trying to keep people awake a little bit, amen? We've had a lot of things awakening us tonight. But you know what? But Adam didn't do that. Adam was not involved in the selection process. Just like everything in else in life, the choice fell upon the sovereign hand of God Almighty. You know, that's why right there is a lesson for all of you young people is, you know what, you wait on God and you allow God to go ahead and help find that young man or find that young lady that is for you. And sometimes you got to go ahead and put to sleep, so to speak, that area of your life and say, okay, God. And again, I tell you teenagers all the time, I've told teenagers for years, right now you ought to be praying for your future spouse. God knows who he or she is. You know, and God can go ahead and do a whole lot better picking than you can, because if you just rely upon you and your flesh, let me tell you something, you might wind up with the wrong guy, wrong girl, and you wonder why you got a broken home down the road. Hey, it's just good to go ahead and let God be totally involved in the selection process. Let him be involved in it. Put to sleep, if you will, that area of your life, so to speak, and let God go ahead and do the choosing. Let God be the one you trust the Lord to bring in Mr. or Mrs. Right in your life in his time and in his way. But society tells us different. You got to be proactive. Society tells us that you must be the one that makes things happen. Society will go ahead and tell us that you got to take the compatibility test. Society, go ahead and you know, go to the dating websites. Go ahead and you'll find your match on whatever, match.com. You know what? Go to the dating websites. When I see the lesson right here is, you know what? There was no website to go ahead and get involved in the selection process. God. You young people who aren't married yet, I say yet, it's going to happen probably for all of you, most of you anyways. You young people, again, it'd be good for you to go ahead and understand. You know what? We have a tendency to go ahead. I'm going to search a worldwide. I want to get married now, and no one wants me here or there, so let me try the internet. You know? And we'll try to go ahead and find that mate, if you will, And I'm sure probably there's some statistic that it does work to some small degree. But you know what? The lesson here is very biblical. God chose. God chose. You know, the society say, go out there and choose the one for you. You know, it'd be good just to ask for God's intervention. You young people, you know, a lot of God is shaping your life now. You young people, I think most of you, if not all of you, you're here tonight under the sound of my voice. You could be from 4 or 5 on up to a teenager, and thank God if you're here tonight, it's probably because you have a godly mom and daddy that believe in church and believe in getting you under the preaching. And you know, a lot of you young people, you have testified about what God has done in your life, and the avenues that he has in your life. What is he doing? When you testify that, you know what God is doing? He's shaping your life. You're allowing him to intervene in your life, saying, God, whatever it is you want me to do, be a preacher, be a pastor, be a evangelist, be a Christian school teacher, whatever the case may be. You're allowing God to go ahead and intervene, but it seems like in this society, if we would just go ahead, we allow him to intervene there, but you know what? I guarantee you it will go ahead and help your marriage if you also would allow him full control, sovereign control. Okay, when it comes to my dating, God, you lead me to the right one. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to put that area to sleep, so to speak. I'm going to go ahead and trust you. I want you to lead me to the right one. I just checked my time here. We're doing good. Amen. I think. Some of you already checked it already, and some of you may be thinking differently, but let's move forward. Also, not just involves sleep, but it involves surgery. You know, Adam was asleep. God went to work. God took out that rib, and from this rib came woman. Surgery always involves pain. If you've ever been in surgery, you know it does involve pain. Often finding a mate can involve some pain, and even after the vows are said, you will have some painful times. You're going to have some troublesome times. You will face some heartaches. You will face things that you never thought you'd face. You know, it's amazing. I got married when I was 20 years old. My wife was 18. We were young. And you know what? But if I may revert back to that, you know what? We were just young, and we were ready to take on the whole world. You know, and of course we certainly had ups and downs and some heartaches and so forth, and you know, we always got through them. But you know what? Come 2006, when cancer came, I'd have never thought when I was 20-year-old young man, just whoo, I mean, I got all the energy, I got all woohoo, man, I'm just going at it and so forth, and I'm excited about life and whatever God has for me. But I never thought when cancer came into our home, I never would have thought that. I never would have thought that. I'm saying you will have some testings in your marriage. You know, you will have some troublesome times in your marriage, and you got, that's why it's so important that every day you got to keep God in the center of your home and in the center of your marriage, because that's the only way that you're going to get through. He'll give you the strength that you need. So it does involve surgery, and there will be some painful times. We must learn to trust God in our marriage during the difficult times, and remember our commitment to our spouse. We must fight for our marriages, if you will. Don't let anything come in between. One pastor said, the only thing that I have ever seen that will make a marriage last is that the couple wants to be married more than they want a divorce. I heard that from a pastor recently. Then it also involves symbolism. Notice where woman came from. It was the rib of man, the side of man. God, I think, is painting a picture here that speaks volumes about the marriage relationship. I heard it once this way, that Eve was made by God, not out of Adam's head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, and under his arm to be protected and near to his heart to be loved. I like that. I like that. We see the Lord's intention, we see his intervention, then we see his invention, if you will. Verses 23 through 25, we'll kind of read through it as I go, so I want to keep on moving. Not talking about the invention of woman, though that's a fascinating miracle in and of itself. I'm talking about the institution of marriage. These verses constitute the marriage ceremony. There's three quick aspects I want to notice here. Let me read 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So there's three quick aspects I want to go ahead and mention here. Number one, marriage involves a response. Adam woke up, and boy, you know what? When Adam woke up, I don't know whether he knew why he was having surgery. I don't know whether he had a clue or not, but the truth of the matter is, when he woke up, God saw, hey, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. God went ahead and performed surgery. Adam woke up, and you know what? What did he see? He saw the most beautiful creature he'd ever seen. You know what? I don't know, but I wonder if he just went ahead and said, hot diggity dog. You know what? And maybe God's standing over there, but you know what? God was not in his view. You know what? That beautiful creature that God just went ahead and divinely created. Wow. You know, I don't know if the whistle was out there at that time. Well, you know, you know that whistle? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Okay, amen. All right, I know, you know what? And you know, maybe you just, yes! Woohoo! Okay? I don't think he could take his eyes off her. I think Eve was a very beautiful creature, if you will, to him. He was saying that finally there is somebody that he didn't want to live without. Our marriage ought to be that way. Your wife ought to be somebody that you just can't stand to live without. Your husband ought to be somebody that you just can't stand to live without. Yes, you'll have your skirmishes, but you keep God focal point, and you're going to get through any battle, any trial. I say it time and time again, you know, your wife, your spouse ought to be your best friend. I'm talking about above all your church friends, and there's nothing wrong with having friendships and acquaintances. Don't misunderstand me, but your spouse ought to be your best buddy. She or he ought to be your best pal. You know, it involves a response. You know what? He saw a beautiful creature created by the hand of God. In marriage, there must be an element of heartfelt love and the sure knowledge that this person that God created is just for me. You know, marriage shouldn't be taken lightly. Shouldn't be. Though it is today in this society. I got to keep moving. It is very much today. Marriage should be prayed about. I'm talking to those who aren't married. Okay? And some of you who have been married, if I may just say a kind word to you, you would probably agree with me, okay, if you have been married and it fell apart, so to speak, you probably would agree with me that marriage shouldn't be taken lightly and that it ought to be prayed about before you get into it, amen? Ought to be. All right? And if God in His Word is ignored, there's nothing but trouble that's going to come into that marital relationship. It involves response, and that response is to say yes to that person that God has picked and He's divinely prepared for you. It involves a responsibility. Quickly, leave and cleave. You leave your parents and you cleave to your wife. You know, it comes a time that you grow up and it's time to leave there, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Okay, that's the way it is. Okay, there comes a time. You know what? I'll tell you, my dad will tell you this. You know what? He didn't want his kids in his house all his life. You know, he said it jokingly very many times. He'd tell you, you know what? You know, he's on his second honeymoon. Once the kids left, he was on his second honeymoon. You know, the truth is, you know what? Comes a time that you've grown and you got to go ahead and move on. Your parents raised you. Now go out, get a job, and support your family. Amen? Leave and cleave. You know, and when you just leave and cleave, the Bible says. To leave means that every other human relationship is a lower priority than marriage. Should be God number one. Okay, God ought to be focal point in everybody's life here, and then it should be your spouse. Your husband or wife is more than a spouse. They should be your best friend. We talked about that. Leaving means that every activity must take a back seat outside the marriage relationship. Okay, that means our hobbies and our friends and different things. Now, again, let me just go ahead and preface and say this along the way here. You know what? There's nothing wrong with having friends, but don't forget about your spouse. Don't forget about spending your time with your spouse. Don't forget that date night. Don't forget that them love letters, if you will. Don't forget them. Nowadays, we got the technology, them little texts, I love you, babe, or whatever the case may be. Don't you go ahead and forget that. And if you go ahead and you take care of your spouse and you love on your spouse and you treat her and him just like he's king or queen as they should be, then yes, you can have the night out with the boys. Nothing wrong with that. Have the night out with the ladies, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, but don't forget about your best friend. That's your spouse. Don't you do it. You know what? That's what leaving means. You know what? You're literally leaving everything else, and that, if you will, putting everything else in the back seat, and you're putting your wife and your spouse first, under God, if you will. Cleaving means to adhere to, stick to be bound together by some strong bond. It's not an instant thing. It's not just some little spoofle dust in there. No. It takes some time. It's a lifelong pursuit. It begins at the marriage altar and it ends at the deathbed. It speaks of absolute commitment. Commitment's a dirty word in our society today, amen? Nobody wants to commit to anything. Nobody wants to commit to marriage or whatever the case may be. It lacks much in our society, especially in our marriages. Our modern mindset is, well, we'll try it for a while, just see how it works out. That's what it is. Okay, you know what? No wonder the divorce rate is well over 52-53% now, I think. It may be even a little bit more than that. But you know, the truth of the matter, you know, we're just gonna test try it, we're gonna give it a run, just see how it works and so forth. And if it doesn't work, I'll just go find me a new one. Again, that's dead wrong. That's against God. That's not what God intended. Cleaving is not a passive endeavor. In other words, it does not just happen. It comes as a result of effort and some work. Your marriage does take work, doesn't it? It does. It takes effort. It takes effort to go ahead and try to make sure that we're on time and where we should be. You know, it takes effort to, if you will. Move right on. The New Testament word for cleave means to stick like glue, to be welded together so that it cannot be separated without serious damage. If we believe that two does become one, that's what the Bible says, become one flesh, then we must also believe that anything that tore that apart was a serious matter. You know what? Don't let serious matters get into the middle of your relationship, your marriage. The very precious, precious relationship created by God Almighty. Very precious. Marriage involves, I'll be through with this, marriage involves righteousness. In verse number 25, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. You know, Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us here, Adam and Eve were naked, and they weren't ashamed of it. The scripture, I think the scripture simply drives home the truth that the only valid arena for intimacy is within the marriage relationship. Amen. The only valid arena is within the marriage relationship. Don't be misled by the twisted definitions of Hollywood or this world. Don't be misled by that. Be led by God's book. Courting engagement, you need to be very careful. You know, I'm not a huge fan of young teenagers dating personally. I'll tell you that. I'm not. I think sometimes we do our kids, I think, an injustice by letting them be really loose at such loose. I don't. That's not the word I want, but be very, you know, really get involved. Now, this is my girlfriend at 12 years old. It's, something just doesn't. You know, the truth matters. They're not mature. They're not ready for that. And you know, mom and dad, we are to teach them how to date. Mom and dad, you are to set the guidelines as far as how you want your teenager to date. You set them guidelines. And don't let them date too soon. Date the Bible way. And again, I'm not taking a whole lot of time with that in this particular message, but don't do anything that dishonors God. Don't walk down the aisle saying, man, I wish I'd lived the clean life that God wanted me to live. Call me old-fashioned, but every time, you know, and I've been called old-fashioned before, I just take it as a compliment. Thank you. I really do. And I've been called it before. And then I'll end with this. You know, if you were honest tonight, you took your marriage and laid it alongside this passage that we went through just a very short amount of time, really, and you laid it alongside this marriage, would your marriage stand as a marriage the way that God intended it to be? Would it stand that way? And I'm talking married couples here a minute. Or would you have to say that there is that there needs to be some leaving or cleaving in some area? Is there some area in your marriage, in other words, that need to be dealt with? Could it be that, you know, you might have to go ahead and grab your spouse by the hand, and you know, husband, if you will, as the leader of the home, you know there's something, boy, you know, let's walk down the aisle, let's get it right, let's take care of it. Is there something that's coming in between your marriage tonight? If you leave it alone, it'll become a huge matter. Don't let it get so big that before you know it, you wonder what happened. Don't do that. Do you feel that you are one flesh, or do you kind of live them two separate lives? Are you one flesh? I'm simply saying, in the day and age where we live, you know, the devil's working hard against the home. He's working hard against that institution of marriage. And you both need to look hard at your marriage and maybe respond together in taking care of whatever needs to be taken care of. Are there needs in your marriage that need to be met tonight? Maybe you're married to an unsaved person. When was the last time you took it to the Lord and just talked to him about it? You know, it grieves you and doing the right thing, and you want to do the right thing and so forth and so on, and you need to do the right thing by reading your Bible and going to church, and all that's very, very important. But when was the last time? But no doubt that you as a saved individual and your spouse being unsaved, well, number one, you want to see him or her in heaven, and maybe she doesn't quite respond to the gospel, so to speak, as you did. But you know what? It's very, very important that you take that matter. You know, it's got to be very, very heavy. I'm going to heaven, but my spouse isn't. You know, when was the last time I asked you, when was the last time that you prayed about that? When was the last time that you brought that to the Lord? I urge you, no matter what it is, if there's something that's kind of broken in your marriage tonight, why don't you go ahead and fix it? Maybe you're not married, but you're concerned about the future single. Why don't you just bring it to the Lord? You know, don't try to go ahead and cut corners. Allow God to go ahead and do the work. Single, maybe there's some areas in your life that you need to bring under God's control. Understand this, that God's plan for everyone here, God never intended. Okay, God never intended. And I'm very careful here. God never intended divorce. He never did. But I ask you tonight, married couple,
Let's divorce proof our marriage. Let's start out by divorce proofing our marriage. Let's make it sweet. It can be sweet. You know, it can be very, very sweet. You know, go back to dating your wife. Yeah. I mean, you know, I won't take a whole lot of time, but remember the times you laid eyes on it? Whoa, yeah. Woo. Go back to that. Making him or her your best friend. Making him the queen, king. Whoops. We're in Massachusetts. Can I get away with that? Sorry. I love our state, amen. Just need to pray for it. But making him the king, making her the queen. So if there's some, you know, more than anything, you know, our church can run in harmony, and I thank God we have a very harmonious church. We really do. I talked to these missionaries last week, you know, and oftentimes visitors come through and say, you've got a good spirit in your church. I like that. I like that because I work hard. That's a big area that I want us to have. I mean, we can do big things for God if we're in one accord. But you know what? Our church could even be so much more harmonious, if you will, if we keep our marriages in tune with God. Husbands and wives love each other. You know, when was the last time, husband, you just went up to your wife and just gave her a big, hug? I love you, babe. Maybe, you know, maybe been too busy or whatever. You know, if you're too busy to do that, you're too busy. Amen? We can always find time to go ahead and just love on our spouse, so to speak. And I've said it before, you know, it's okay. Obviously use discretion. But it's okay, you know, it's a good thing if your kids maybe walk around the corner, there you are just kissing. It's okay. Oh, some of you, oh, yeah, well, we'll let it go across the box in our TV, in our room, living room, won't we? I'd much rather, you know, and I know this. I know that it gives a security to my children if they see me holding my wife's hand or just I'm embracing her, you know, in a very discreet way, obviously, and just embracing her. I know that it gives them a lot of security saying that my mom and that my dad love each other. You know, I want to be the one to teach my kids how to have a happy marriage. I don't want Hollywood, huh? You know, I want to be the one. I hope they see a biblical marriage. We strive for that. Our Heavenly Father, love you and thank you for tonight, God. And God, I just preaching on the home, taking a couple weeks on it. We need to keep the home fires burning. And I pray, God, that every single one of us married couples would go ahead and do whatever it takes to keep them home fires burning, keep them right. Pray, God, that you'd be with every individual. You know my heart, God. I wasn't zooming in on anybody tonight, whether they be divorced or single. You know my intention, God, and I hope nobody ever even thought that tonight. But I pray that, God, that wherever we may be, that we'd learn to be content. If this is where it is for the time being, that we would learn to be content and allow you to give us the contentment that we need to live a happy and satisfied life. Pray, Lord, you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart tonight, maybe a couple, you know, husband, wife, or family, or teenage, it doesn't matter. If God just spoke to your heart tonight on marriage or whatever the case may be, maybe it was some other avenue, won't you go ahead and do business as a pianist, please?
Holy Father God, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the decisions that were made. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our pastor. Lord God, I thank you for sending Pastor Weeks and his family to us. And Father, the blessings that we get every single day, every week, over and over again from this wonderful family, the Weeks family that you have sent to us, Lord God, and our pastor. And I thank you, Father God, for sending us a pastor who loves us and who cares for us, Father God, and who prays for us. And I pray you just be real to him and just build a hedge about him and his family now, I pray. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the message that Pastor brought tonight on marriage. I pray you be with those who are married here and just help them to take that message and strengthen their marriage and see maybe areas of their marriage that need strengthening, Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord God, that you just be with those who are here who aren't married, Lord God, maybe teenagers who are in relationships and dating. I pray that you just encourage them to keep you center of every relationship, Father God, and Lord, help them to take the points that Pastor hit on tonight and make it real to them, Father God, that they may stay pure and holy and right before you, Father. And Lord, I pray that you just be with each and every person now, and I just pray you bring them back safely again Wednesday, Lord. We praise you and we love you, and thank you for all that was said and done here today. We do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.